God. You just have to look into creation. You just have to look at creation. And it speaks to us. The question is, who is this God? Romans 1 verse 19. An age-old question we were sharing with the youth at school, at high school. Many of us pastors coming together, and there's a campaign going on in the high school and soon in the primary school just about the reality of God. And in this session, the question was asked, who is God? It's an age-old question. Who is God? Now, all over the world, every nation and every tribe, no matter where you travel in this world, people believe in a God. Man believes in the concept and the reality of God. No matter where you go, no matter how isolated, no matter how remote, it doesn't matter in which nation, doesn't matter in which tribe or tongue you will go to, you will find people believe in God, in a God, in a God. Man believes, man understands, man intrinsically knows that there is a God. That's not the challenge. The challenge is, who is this God? Who is this God? This concept of God is not foreign to man. The word of the God declares why this is so. Why is this so? There's a small portion of people, it's a small percentage in this world that tries to deny the existence of God. And they try very hard to proclaim and to project as if they are the majority. But the reality is, there's such a small percentage of humanity that actually denies the existence of God. And even that is an act of faith. The reality is, intrinsically, we know God exists. The question is just, who is God? And where can I find Him? Who is this God? The Word of God declares why this is so in Psalm 19, verse 1 to 4. I love coming to church when people pray and prepare beforehand, like the professor and others that were praying. But here goes again, Psalm 19, verse 1 to 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Every man knows there is a God. You just have to look into creation. You just have to look at creation. And it speaks to us. The question is, who is this God? In Romans 1 verse 19 it says, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse, those who claim that God does not exist. Are without excuse, because everything around us declares His glory. In theology, we call this general revelation, the fact that God has made Himself known throughout creation, throughout the ages. If you walk through the mountains and sit by the sea, everything shouts at you the glory of God. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but when we are in nature, we feel so much closer to God. Because creation worships Him. And even though we cannot hear the words, yet it is so clear to our spirit and souls. Man intrinsically knows that God exists. We experience and see Him throughout nature. In nature, we see His eternal power, the power of God that established everything and upholds everything. We see His divine nature in that He is faithful to the precisest detail, he upholds the universe in his wisdom. We see throughout nature that he is different. He is not just different to us. He is different to nature because everything is dependent on him. But more than that, we realize he's different to us. We don't have this power. We don't have this ability. We try our very best, but we don't have the power that God has. He's beyond our collective wisdom. We cannot figure him out. We cannot reproduce him in a lab. We try as hard as we may, but we cannot. Our collective wisdom does not come close to understanding who God is. He is immensely powerful and he is eternal. Yet the real question remains, who is God? Who is God? Moses encounters a burning bush. God speaks to him. Moses falls to his face, and in his heart he wants to know, who are you? Who are you? I perceive I'm in the presence of something eternally, immensely more powerful than I am. Who are you? We read this in Exodus. We see God's response, which is so powerful. Moses said to God, as God sent him to the Israelites to lead them out, Moses is still unsure what he's meant to say about this God. Who is this God? He says, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I answer? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Go tell the people, I am sent me to you. Who is this God? And then God, through time, reveals more of himself. And he says, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am your provision. I am Jehovah Nissi. I am the banner over you. I am Jehovah Ra. I am your shepherd. I am Jehovah Shalom. I am your peace. And so he goes on, and it becomes so evident that God is saying, I am everything that you need. This is who I am. I'm everything that you need. But I am unique. I am one. There is no other beside me. There's only one God. There's only one God. God starts to reveal himself as the God who came to set his people free. As Moses encounters God, and God reveals himself not just through fire and a bush, but through his name, but more specifically through his character. What does he do? He does not just speak to Moses. He speaks to Moses with purpose. His purpose is, I want to set my people free. I've heard their cry. For freedom, for justice. I want to set them free and I want to use you. I want to use you. But I'm the God who sets my people free. And I want to use you. And Moses went to Pharaoh and Pharaoh laughed at him. And God says, I will work through you. And we know the wonders that was done and how Pharaoh and Egypt, the mightiest nation in the time with the most powerful gods in the eyes of the world, tried their very best, but God humiliated them every single time to prove not just to Israel, but to the whole world, there is only one God. And these gods that you have made for yourself, they are nothing in front of me. Nothing. And after God humiliated the gods of man, he set his people free. He set his people free. And then God gave man the law. He revealed more of himself. This is who I am. I am holy. The law is not just rules. This is who I am. I do not steal. I do not lie. I do not covet. And when you do, you are rejecting who I am. Because I'm holy. So God started to reveal himself. That he is righteous. That he's just. That he's a judge. And he gave us the word. He gave us the word. In theology, we call that specific revelation. I was preparing for encounters and I was just going through notes. And I was just inspired as I listened to some teachings again. The Word of God is the specific revelation of who He is. This question, who is God, is revealed here. It is through the Word that we know who God is. God chose to reveal Himself. Know who he is, not just through what nature declares, but more specifically through what he does and say through his word. And we get to understand who this God is. He gives us specific revelation. Here in Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. But now listen to this, refreshing the soul. So I love about God, he didn't just come to reveal himself to Moses. He came to set the people free. The law of the Lord is not just perfect. It is refreshing to the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. His precepts, the precepts of the Lord are right. It's not just right, but it gives joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from a honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. God reveals himself through his word. He reveals himself through his word. And throughout Israel's history and to this very day, God's faithfulness is evident. He chose this nation and he never let them go. They are still there today in case you do not believe. And they will never be destroyed. Because God is faithful. He's been faithful throughout history and he will remain faithful. And throughout the history of Israel, we see God's faithfulness, his patience, and we see his covenant love. Despite their rebellion, he remained faithful to them. We see his covenant love. We see he does not change. He does not lie. And he does not go back on his word. Who is this God? He is different to us. He is immense in his power and in nature. He is completely different to us. He is beyond our understanding. He is distant to us because of his immense power and greatness. And because he is incomprehensible, he is so far removed from us in his difference. Yet he cares about you and me. I mean, the entire universe lies in the span of his hand. He controls it with a thought. He's so big, it cannot be contained in this universe, but yet he cares about you and me. He don't just care about us. He loves you. Who is this God? He loves you. He loves you. He knows the very hair on your head. knows when one falls out. For some of us, that's more than others. But he knows. Because his eyes are on you always. Always. Because he loves you. Yet even though he's so great and distant and different to us, God is personal. He's not a force out there. He is personal and he wants to be with us. I mean, he wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. And even more powerful, men and women can know him. They can know him. We read of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, and countless others who have a personal relationship and encounter with God. And even to this very day, people encounter God. And you can know him. You can know him. Because he wants to be known. He wants to be with us. He wants to be amongst his people. There is no other religion where God wants to be personal. And not that you can compare God with any other religion, because they are lies and fabrications. But nevertheless, there's no other religion where God wants to be with us. Where God wants to be personal. In all other religions, he's far and distant and you cannot approach him. You have to try, and with extreme effort, you can maybe come closer to him. But you have to work your way to God. Christianity and Judaism is the only faith that says God comes to us because he wants to. It's amazing. All the other religions, God is distant and far, and it's impossible to come to him, and you must try your very best, and with extreme effort, maybe, if you empty yourself of everything, or you become perfect in all your ways, you will get closer to God. But the God of the Bible comes to us. He wants to be with us. All other religions build temples in an attempt to get closer to God. But God says, build me a tabernacle because I want to be with my people. I want to be with my people. So build me a tent. I want to be with my people. I want to be in their presence. I want my presence to be with them. That's God. Who is this God who loves us so much, so powerful, so almighty, and despite our brokenness and our sinfulness, he wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. So God commands the Israelites to build the temple because he wants to be with his people. In Exodus 29 verse 45, he says, I will dwell among the children of Israel and I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell amongst them. I am the Lord their God. How powerful is this God? Is this God that loves us so much? Yes, sin separates us from God because he's holy. But God wants to be with his people. A tabernacle amongst these people, but at a distance. Because of our sin, yes, even in the temple, there's the Holy of Holies where man cannot enter because of our brokenness and our sinfulness. Because he is holy. Yet despite our sinfulness and brokenness, God longs to be with us. And in Joel 2 verse 27 says, then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also my men servants, and on my maid servants, and I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will come and live in them. Because I want to be with my people. I want to be with my people. I want to be with you. Despite your sinfulness and your brokenness, I want to be with you because I love you. Sin is personal to God because it's rejecting who He is, yet He loves us so much. Even though it's a personal matter to Him, He dealt with it in a very personal way. He sent His own Son. He humbled Himself to become like us. He emptied Himself. He sent His Son and He humbled Himself to become one of us. And I have a little video clip. Help us just reflect on who this God is and what He has done for us. This God that humbles Himself to be with us. This is an awesome God. This God has not changed and He will never change. He's still as immensely powerful as He was when He spoke creation into being. And He is still as forgiving as He was the day His Son died on the cross. And He still wants to be with you. He still wants to be with me because He loves you. Yes, He is holy, but He's also love. He is humble, He is patient, He is forgiving, caring, and He loves you. And He came all the way to save us, to give us life. Why would you not want to follow Him? Why would you not want to follow Him with everything? Why the reservation? Why the fear of what we might lose? If we follow Him with everything, if we just pursue Him blindly, what is holding us still back when God loves us so much? His love is real and messy and personal. In Romans 5, we read, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for us while we were still ungodly. Sinners, not because we were good or righteous, because He loved us. Verse 9 continues, "Much more than having been justified by His blood shall we be saved from wrath through Him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life? Not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So why the reservation? Why not follow Him completely? Why and what is holding us back? God is not looking for perfection. That's why we've been saved by grace. Because He saved us when we were still imperfect. When we were still broken and sinners and enemies, God saved us. So He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for commitment. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for all our hearts. He's not looking for a date. He's not looking for a contract. He's looking for covenant. That's what God is looking for. He says, I've given you everything because I want to be with you. Just turn to me. Just turn to me. Just face me. Just acknowledge me. Just say, thank you. I'm with you every single day. I watch you when you wake up, when you go to bed. I watch over you. Sometimes we forget that. And we go on with our lives. And every now and then we stop to say, oh yeah, hi God. How are you doing? I actually need something. Oh yeah, that's why I'm coming to you, because I need something. I need something more. I need something extra. I know I haven't been talking to you lately, but you know, I've got a real crisis going on here. Can you, hey, I know you're out there. Can you quickly help me, yeah? Because I'm in a real need here. I'm in a real crisis. So please, help me. I don't know, God loves you so much and He wants to be with you, but you know, sometimes, I don't know. He's not looking for perfection, He's just looking for covenant, a commitment that says, God, I give you my life. And I want to follow you. I want to follow you. He wants to share with us everything, but He wants us to trust Him with everything. He does not want to share us with the world. He's a jealous God. In case you don't know, He's a jealous God. He doesn't want to share you. He doesn't want to share me. He wants everything. He doesn't want to share us with the world. He wants us to overcome the world. That's what He wants. He wants us to come from His presence and face the world and say, you know what, the world is nothing for me. Because what I have in Him is far more valuable than what this world can give me. And we can all be there. I can't remember who it was, but it was always in God TV. They had this advert of God TV, and there was somebody there. I can't remember who it was, but this guy, they had this quote that they kept on repeating over and over every time the God TV ad comes up. And this guy said, you can be as close to God as anybody in the Bible. You can be as close to God as anybody in the Bible, and it really stuck with me. God is not a respecter of persons. He just wants us to turn to Him and seek His face. And He will give you everything. He's already given you everything. It's already there. It's already there. He loves you so much. We must just turn to Him because it's in His presence. It's in His presence where we have life. He wants me and you to follow Him, to know Him, and to love Him. And He meets with us not because we have achieved Nirvana or some level of perfection. He meets with common people all over the world. Poor, rich, famous, unknown, it doesn't matter. He meets with the whosoever turns to Him, whosoever turns to Him. He meets with him. He meets with me, He meets with you. Whenever we turn to Him and we seek His face, He's there. Because, you know, He wants to. He wants to be with us. God wants to be with you. But we need to want to be with Him. guess that's as simple as it is. He wants to be with us. So he's not waiting for us to jump a lot of hoops and achieve a lot of things. His desire is to be with us. We just simply need to want to be with him. And it's done. It's as simple as that. It's fascinating. You don't need to meditate for 5 hours to experience his presence. You don't have to. you must just make some time and seek his face. It's all. And he's there. He doesn't want to know who the world think he is. He wants to know, who do you say I am? God doesn't want to know what other people think he is. God wants to know, who do you think he is? Can you answer this question, who am I? Without quoting another man? Without leaning on your parents' understanding of who God is? Without leaning on your church and its tradition? Can you answer this question because you've been in his presence? I mean, that's the bottom line. God doesn't want to know, who does men say I am? Yeah, we read Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16. And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he said to them, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? I don't know what Joyce Meyer says or John Bevere or Joseph Prince. I want to know, who do you say I am? And then Peter responded. And this stuck to me. I was reading this past couple of weeks, this stuck to me. Peter responded. And God responded back to Peter's response. And this is so powerful to me. This is so precious. Peter responded and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. It wasn't Joyce Meyer. It wasn't Joseph Prince. It was my Father that revealed this to you. And on this revelation, I will build my church. On a personal revelation, I will build my church. And hell will not be able to prevail against it. Who do you say I am? Because I love you and I want to be with you. But I don't want to know what other people think of me. I want to know what you know of me. And he's not far away. He's as close as anything in you. I want to ask the band to come up as I conclude. You can only truly know him in a relationship with him. You can only truly know him in a relationship with him. And you can only know him in his presence. You can only know him in his presence. And his presence is not far. It's not far. He wants to be with you. If there's anything to encourage you, if you're struggling with this, I want to declare to you, he wants to be with you. You only need to want to be with him. Turn to him and call out on him. And he will be there for you. Psalm 16 continues. It says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Exodus 33 says, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I mean, in God's presence, some of us, we've been there. Some of us know it well. Some of us haven't been there in a long time. But you know what? In his presence, there is fullness of joy. In his presence, there is rest. In his presence, there is peace. You know, this world, there is just so much going on. But when you're in His presence, there is peace, there is healing, there is forgiveness, there is restoration, there is fullness of joy. It's in His presence. I want to encourage you, He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. Do you want to be with Him? Because there you will find your fullness of joy. You'll find your rest and your peace and your love, your acceptance. And it's there. When we're there, we need nothing. We need nothing. Don't take my word for it. It's 2,000 years of testimonies of men and women that were broken and needy and heavy laden that came into His presence and left. He's left that place full of joy. We only need to turn to Him. Make time to be with Him. Make a commitment to seek His face. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says, the Word of God reveals to us specifically, love the Word of God. Who is this gone? Matthew 18, verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered in thy name, my name, there I am amongst them. Who is this God who loves you so much? Who wants to be with you? Well, He's here. Why don't you just ask Him? He wants to give you rest. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you fullness of joy. Let's just pray. Let us respond to Him. Thank you, God, for coming to us. When we wanted nothing to do with You. You came searching for us. You came searching for me. Thank You for coming and humbling Yourself. Took a form of a servant. Because You didn't come to be served. You came to serve. Thank You, God, that You still love me. You still love us so much. And You want to be with us. You want to dry our tears. You want to still our storms. You want to whisper in our ears that, don't worry, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I don't know what you're going through, but God is saying it's going to be okay. Because I'm with you. I don't know what report you got from the doctor or from the lawyer. God says, I want to be with you. Because you are vulnerable, you are frail, and you are weak. But I am strong. I am powerful, and I am eternal. And I want to be your Father. I want to be your tower that you can run into and be safe. I want to be your rock that you cannot be moved. I want to be your healer, your provider, your banner, your peace, your shepherd. I want to be the host of the
armies of God. I want to be everything that you need. I am everything that you need. I just want you to want me. Some of us here this morning are far away from God. You have become distracted. Some of us, our lives are falling apart. Or at least it feels like it. And some of us here, we really need love. We need healing. We need acceptance. We need His presence to encounter Him. And some of us has never been with God at all. We've never experienced this. We don't know what I'm talking about. But today He's calling you. He's calling you today. If that is you, I want you just to respond by raising your hand. Say, God, I want to respond to you. I need you. If you've never given your life to God, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to Him. Because He loves you and He wants to be with you. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. You can drop that again. Maybe you are here and you are far from Him. You know you have drifted from Him. He's calling you. He's calling you back today. He says, come. If that is you, just respond to Him by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. I want to come back to you. Thank you for that. And anybody else? Thank you for those hands. And maybe you are here and your life feels as if it's falling apart. Your life is falling apart and you need help. Well, God is saying, I'm here today. Just turn to me. If that is you, just respond to Him. Say, God, I need you today. Lord, I need breakthrough. I need deliverance. I need a miracle. Thank you for those hands. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need love. You just need to be affirmed. You just need Him to say to you again, I love you. And you are precious to me. If that is you, I just want you to respond. Say, God, I need that. Thank you for those hands. I really believe God wants to meet you this morning, and I want to ask you to respond. I want to pray with you. So I want to ask you, if you raised your hand, I want to pray with you, and I want you to come forward quickly. Just as you are, God wants to meet with you here. And I want to pray for you. So if you've raised your hand, I want to ask you to quickly come forward, because God wants to meet with you. He wants to meet with you where you're at. So don't be afraid. Don't be shy. I want to ask you just to come forward. He wants to meet with you. And I want to pray with you, because I believe God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you. So if that is you, if you've raised your hand, I want to ask the facilitators to come and help. I want you just to come forward. Yes, Father, as we come into your presence, we thank you, God, that we know that you want to be with us. You want to be with us. Lord, thank you that when we turn to you and when we seek you, you say you will make yourself found by us. Thank you, Father. Lord, help us to remember how much you love us and how much you want to be with us. And this privilege we have to come into your presence. Lord, help us to do this every day. Just to come to you. To make time to wait upon you. To spend time in your word and in your presence and prayer and worship and just being with you. And that we can take it from those moments into our very day. And that you can come to work with us, to school with us. And as we play and as we work, that you are with us. Open our eyes to see and our hearts to receive and be with you as you are with us.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.